In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I'm from Brazil, and I've seen a lot of things in this short 21 years of my life. But one time I was doing a trail with a friend. We started very late, like 22 p.m., and finished around 1 a.m. near a residential area with an old church and cow pastures. My friend needed to deliver to a woman he knew some pots and pans that she had borrowed so we could make food and sweets for the Feast of São João, a Catholic holiday. And the way back home, we needed to walk a long dirt road, which was separated from the pastures by a fence and trees back to back. Start to end of the road. We carried flashlights, but the night was very bright. Due to the reed being very wide and open, midway through the long road, we started to hear some rumbling on the fence side behind the trees. I said that probably was a dog, and my friend believed. The sound became little by little closer, the further we walked, and my friend stated that was a very big dog. We kept walking until the noise was right behind our necks. With that ominous presence, I took a piece of wood that we carried in case we were attacked by dogs and etc. on the trails and asked my friend to shine the flashlight on the fence. And that was when I see it. A big skinny figure standing up in his two hind legs. His arms were so long they touched the ground like a gorilla leaning back and hiding his true height. Looking me in the eyes with his crooked spine, it looked like a terminal anorexic bull with a deformed face without horns, but with neck hair like a fake mane and moonlight gray skin and shine eyes. This 1 second looked like an eternity. Suddenly the light went out, and when I looked, my friend was running and shouting to me do the same. I ran like I never needed to run before, with that thing running beside me on the other side of the trees. When we reached the end of the road, we were graced by the statue of Our Lady Fatima standing still in his shrine. And the thing had vanished in the fields. I asked him if he had seen it, and he said no, and that he ran in fear. For so long I thought it was a werewolf, but it was so different from anything I have ever heard of. and I truly don't know that was, but still visits me in my dreams, lurking in the corners of my eye. I had an uncle in the CIA who claimed the CIA imprisoned a kid who was possessed and fed them information. Uncle B began college in the early 60s with a major in theology to become a pastor. He was married and was in love with his wife Missy. During his third year, he and Missy found out they were going to be parents. Tragically, a week later, she was killed in a freak accident by a drunk driver. B dropped out of college. He said of the time, "I don't think I completely lost my faith, but I didn't want to talk to God anymore." After a while, he transferred to a different college and majored in political science, minored in linguistics, and joined the ROTC. He got out with his commission in Army Intel and went to Vietnam. He did a bunch of crazy stuff and was then recruited into the CIA. After a few years in the CIA, he said he got assigned to a counterintelligence team in NYC. They wanted him, with his background in theology, to infiltrate the Russian Orthodox Church in NYC to gather intel about the KGB, using it as a cover. His cover story was that he was ordained Orthodox priest, but not Russian. He had converted and wanted to be regularized or something to that effect. I didn't really understand. He tried explaining it, but it went over my head. Anyway, he got the bishop's blessing, and he became an associate pastor or something like that. I was drinking when he told me all this, so forgive me if I don't remember how all that worked. I'm sure there was more, but it's beside the point. After a year undercover in this assignment, he was making progress. But then one day, this young man, late teens, came into his office. He said he was clearly distressed, erratic, and angry. He knew who he was indirectly. His mother had been going to a different priest and talking about her son hearing voices and acting strangely. My uncle thought he needed to get him to a hospital, but then the kid lunged at him, started talking in Aramaic, and called him by his real name and his deceased wife's name. And then the name they were going to give their unborn son, they had names picked out for a boy and a girl. They were also not common names. This freaked him the F out because he had never told anyone that she was even pregnant before she was killed. So he then called his handlers and they took him and the kid to a safe house. They thought he was schizophrenic, but spooks wanted to know who was onto my uncle and how much they knew. My uncle started the interrogations because the kid was switching through multiple languages, Russian, Greek, Latin, Aramaic, alongside English, and only my uncle knew these. B said he thought demonic possession was just superstition, so he didn't really want to believe that was possible. Still, he said he had no idea how the kid knew the things he did. He asked the kid for his name when his voice started to sound like a dog growling at him. They had to restrain him, and even then the straps looked like they could snap, he said. I asked what name did he give, and he started to tell me. But then he said that name had become classified in a way that he said could affect me since it was unusual. I don't think that was true, but B had become convinced it was a demon, and I think by saying its name it would come back or something. He said it started talking about their projects and a bunch of classified stuff. His supervisors decided that the kid was deranged, but they had to ascertain how he came to know what he did. They decided to transport him to Langley, Virginia CIA headquarters, to be treated and interrogated. B was given a cover story he delivered to the priest that the kid had a psychotic breakdown, attacked him, and that he took him to the hospital. He then left and never went back. His superiors decided to terminate the operation because they felt that his cover was severely blown, and that B may have even been a double agent, and this kid somehow found out about it. Either way, B was sent to Langley. They wanted him to keep interrogating the kid as a priest. This turned into a spectacle, he said, as people would come into the room and see for themselves the demon they caught, and the kid would start spouting off secrets about them. B said Angleton James Jesus Angleton was an American intelligence operative who served as chief of counterintelligence for the Central Intelligence Agency from 1954 to 1975, eventually came down to see the kid. The kid started talking and Angleton told everyone to leave the room. Several minutes later, he came out looking like a ghost. He thanked B for his hard work, but said the kid would never leave the CIA. Angleton said whatever bastards leaked this information out to screw up this sick kid, he'd pursue to the gates of hell and personally put them down. B said after that he was reassigned to a desk job. He wanted the kid to get treatment in a real mental hospital and an exorcism. B decided to quit soon after that. I asked what did the kid say, but he said it didn't matter. He'd only say it was enough to convince him to come back to his faith. And he prays every day for that kid's soul. Years later, after he told me this story, the CIA declassified its Gateway Project. A 1983 CIA study investigated how humans can transcend space and time with their minds. I asked B about it. He said it was a cover, and an old colleague told him the information they got actually came from the source. That's what they called him. B speculated that at some point the source quit talking, and that's when they folded the psychic project. I asked him what he thought had happened to the man. He said he didn't know, but most likely they loaded him up with antipsychotics and put him in an institution. Check this out. This is a true story. We used to sneak in and go fishing at Green River Golf Course off the 91 freeway in Southern California. It's a long walk in. There's a couple lakes. There's one lake, the best one, all the way towards the back of the course. It rests against a big hill. We were walking, me and my cousin and another friend, toward the lake. We were almost there, and the trees surrounding the lake just started walking. Like, they were surrounding the lake, around 6-10 of them. It was like we startled them and half went one way and half went the other. It was crazy. From the moonlight, we could see the silhouettes move. It looked like the trees just started walking, like trying to clear out of there before we got there. We stopped dead in our tracks and never fished that night. Nobody believes that story, but it happened. I have seen UFOs too. No big deal. That stuff is 100% real, no doubt. But that night I saw the trees move. It really happened. So my mom called me after she was talking with her best friend. He had told her that while he was in New Mexico with his boyfriend, I don't know what city, they saw something weird. So they were laying down on their hotel balcony watching the stars, when they saw what looked like a man jump off the building they were on. It caught both of their attention because they thought someone was trying to unalive himself. They both jumped up in worry as they watched it fall. But right when it was about to hit the ground, it let wings out and flew straight down a road really fast. They watched it until it was out of view in horror. They described it as a large, black humanoid figure with neon glowing wings. I was thinking it was something called Mothman, which I remembered hearing about. But I knew they were only spotted in West Virginia. If anyone knows what this could be, please comment. So my mom is the property manager of a local trailer park. The maintenance man and his assistant were doing a scope of the park at around 1:30 a.m. when they saw a strange thing on the roof of the trailer. Originally, they thought it was a mountain lion until it stood on two legs. The creature was paper white. His arms hung below his knees, and it was zero able to jump from trailer top to trailer top. But the weirdest thing it was doing was calling the name of the tenants inside of the trailers. They continued following it until it jumped over a tall fence and was off in the night. My mom would have thought they were just messing with her if it wasn't for the fact that four tenants called my mom the next morning to report something jumping on their roof. I've considered it being the rake or a flesh pedestrian, but there are problems with it being either one of those. Please help. Edit. If it helps, I'm in Montana. After a stressful day at work, I had gone over to my friend's apartment to shoot the breeze, eat some food, and play a few games on my friend's PS4. It was getting late and I had to be up fairly early the next day. My friend walked me out to the parking lot to my car. There was no one else in the parking lot, just us two. As I was unlocking my car, a dog walked out from the side of a nearby building about 25 feet away. It came fully into view and stopped to look at us. It was a little bigger than a standard Great Dane. It was all black with long hair that appeared to be falling out in clumps. It had long ears and a long, scraggly tail. I remember making eye contact with it. It had dark maroon-colored eyes, and in the moment we locked eyes, it smiled at us. But instead of a dog's lips going up and back, the lips went slightly sideways and I saw white, human teeth. I recall suddenly getting a feeling of dread and fear. I felt like it was something disguised as a dog and pretending to be a dog, but it wasn't a dog. I'm certain of it. The energy coming off of this thing didn't feel dog-like. I don't know how else to describe it, but my hair went up on end. It turned around from us and began limping slowly back around the corner from where it had stepped out from. It seemed to have most of its weight on its front legs, walking with a hunched back. When it was limping away, I noticed its rear left foot was wrapped in blue gauze, and the foot looked very odd. The heel was actually parallel to the ground. I am unsure if my friend saw exactly what I saw, but she suddenly said, "It's leaving. Let's follow it." And she ran after the damn thing right after it disappeared around the corner. I remember being scared for my friend, so I went sprinting after her. I rounded the corner to find my friend looking around confused. The dog thing was gone. At the rate that it was walking and limping, and given the close proximity to us, which, again, was no more than 25 feet, there was no way that it could have disappeared that quickly. The air was suddenly extremely cold, even for South Texas January. My teeth were chattering, and I told my friend to quickly go back to her apartment, lock the door, and stay inside. I warned her that that thing was not a dog, and told her I'd text her when I got home. Once safe at home, I texted my friend and thought that was going to be the end of it. But even as I settled into bed, my heart was racing. It didn't help that, around 12 a.m., there was low whistling right outside my window. My neighbor's house isn't too far from mine, but they're good people, and there is no logical reason for them to be that close to my window at night, whistling. I didn't make any indication that I was aware of the whistling. It wasn't even musical, just the sort of whistle someone is giving if they're trying to get attention. Eventually, the whistling stopped and I heard nothing else. I had trouble sleeping. I haven't seen anything or experienced anything like it since. My big question is, what was that thing? So my fiancé and I took a quick trip to New Orleans, and I packed it full of fun adventures for us. I am also pregnant. We went on a ghost tour where we got to go inside the buildings that were supposed to be haunted. The first place was a hotel. We went in the back area, in a little courtyard area outside, and our guide was just starting to explain equipment that is used on ghost hunts. I felt strange immediately. I felt weighed down like I couldn't move my arms or legs. I was getting some waves of nausea as well. I was also getting a panicked feeling like I wanted to run, but didn't. Then a weird euphoric feeling came over me and I was able to calm down, but I felt drugged, like I just smoked a bunch of pot. Then the guide mentioned people sometimes feeling sick in the room we were going to go into. That's when I told him that I already felt weird just being in the outside courtyard area. I asked my fiancé if he felt different or weird, and he said no. So I think out of our group I was the only one. He seemed weirdly excited and was like, "Just wait till you get in the room." At that point I had that euphoric feeling and the room didn't bother me. They used a camera thing to map the spirits around. I have never felt that feeling before and was wondering if anyone had a similar experience. I heard somewhere that the weighted feeling was spurt invading personal energy space. I don't know anything about this. I do sometimes sense spirits and can sometimes tell if male or female. If a relative to me, I know who by a taste in my mouth. I know it's strange, but there you have it. I don't communicate with the dead and they don't talk to me. They don't give me pictures or images or whatever. I'm no medium. Any experiences or knowledge would be appreciated. Thank you. I grew up in a small village in the countryside of northwest England. My mother and father split when I was around 3 years old. I stayed with my mom, but she was largely absent for most of my youth, and I was basically raised by my granddad, whom I lived with until he passed away. I had two best friends. The world was a safe place back then and on weekends, and during holidays my two friends and I would play outside in the woods from early morning until after sunset. It was during the school summer holidays of 1987 that this incident took place. I was 8 years old at the time, and what I'm about to tell you is unbelievable and makes no sense to me, even now, but I think the time has come to share it. On the morning that this happened, I went around to call for my two friends to see if they wanted to come out and play. There's an area of woodland at the top of the village where a huge old oak tree had been struck by lightning and partially fallen down. My friends and I had claimed this area as our own little playground, as the half of the tree that had fallen was really good for climbing and making tree houses and dens. We had christened it the base due to it being the place where we started the majority of our childhood adventures. It turned out that one of my friends wasn't feeling well, so he wasn't allowed to play, and the other had gone shopping with his mom. So that day I headed out to the base alone to get to the fallen tree. I had to walk through a large field which was periodically maintained, but at the time the grass hadn't been cut and was around 3 feet high. The fallen tree was part of a larger cluster of trees along the bottom edge of this field, and the lighter wood where the tree had split apart was visible through the overhanging branches of the surrounding trees from about halfway across the field. As I got to the middle of the field, I looked towards the base to see if I could see any other kids there, and I realized that I couldn't see the light of wood of the fallen tree. But in its place, all I could see was brown. My 8-year-old mind couldn't process this, and the best I could come up with was that the tree had somehow grown its bark back since I was last there just a few days before. I was intrigued. I took a few steps forward when an overwhelming sense of fear came over me and stopped me in my tracks. At this point, I couldn't see anything, but somehow I knew that something was very wrong, and that something was near to the base. As I stared towards the base, I realized that there was something brown obscuring my view of the fallen tree, and then it had started to move. The thing that was standing there had its back to me, and the second I realized this, it slowly turned to face me. It was at that point that I knew I was in trouble. I realized that the brown I could see was hair, not fur, but hair about 4 inches long, and it was exactly the same color as the tree bark. I couldn't tell if the hair was different colors or uniformly brown with dead leaves and branches and such in it. But from a distance, it would have been invisible to anyone looking. I couldn't move my limbs, which felt like lead, and I could feel my heart beating in my ears. Every fiber of my being was telling me to run, but I was so scared. I was rooted to that spot. The thing squatted down similar to how a sumo wrestler does before a fight. I couldn't see its head or face as it was obscured by the overhanging branches, but I got a clear view of its chest, stomach, and arms. The hair on its chest and stomach was slightly shorter than the hair on its back and arms and a bit lighter in color. It was huge, easily 4 feet across the shoulders, and at least 8 feet tall in its squatting position. Keep in mind that as an 8-year-old, I had never seen or heard of anything like this before. To me, this thing was a monster, plain and simple. Its shoulders and biceps were absolutely massive, and my only point of reference was that this thing was like the Incredible Hulk, but with hair. I was about 30 feet or so from it, and I was so scared that I didn't even realize I had started to cry. If this wasn't unbelievable enough, it brought its hands together in front of its chest, making a circle shape with its thumbs and fingers. In the middle of the circle appeared a ball of pure white light, which I now know to be an orb. But at that time I likened it to a floating crystal ball. The being stood up and dropped its arms down. As it did so, its hands were close to being level with its knees, and the orb stayed in the same position where it had appeared and rose with the creature. When it stood, there was no sound. As this happened, there were no birds singing, no grasshoppers chirping, and even though I could feel the breeze and see the grass and the leaves on the branches moving, there was just deafening silence. I don't know how long this all took, but I realized I'd been holding my breath as all this happened. I exhaled hard, and as I did so, a crystal clear thought flashed through my mind. If you don't run now, you'll never see home again. I don't know how to explain where this thought came from, but I know for a fact it wasn't mine. At that moment, I felt a familiar nuzzling in my armpit and realized that Hobo, my granddad's Irish wolfhound, was behind me. I don't know how it got out, but I didn't realize he had followed me. He put his head beside my left shoulder and began growling and snarling, and this somehow snapped me out of the trance I was in. I turned and sprinted as fast as I could back through the field. Hobo ran beside me all the way home. When I got back home, it took my granddad about an hour or so to calm me down, and I explained to him what had happened. He responded by giving me the worst beating he had ever given me in my life and sending me to my room. He then left the house, telling me not to move. He didn't return for about half an hour. When he did return, he came into my room, and he sat on my bed. He hugged me and comforted me while I began to cry again. I was scared and confused. He told me that I had seen the Woodwose, and that I had to stay indoors for the rest of the summer, that I was forbidden from ever playing at that base again. Needless to say, I never went back there. Before this happened, I was a happy, outgoing kid. But this experience made me withdrawn and timid. I asked my granddad what the Woodwose was, and he told me that it was the tall, hairy man who guards the woods. He said that he scares grown-ups away and sometimes takes kids to a place in the woods where they're never ever seen again. At the time, I had no reason to doubt my granddad. He had raised me and was the only father figure I had when growing up. I think he beat me because he was scared and angry at what had happened to me and took these feelings out on me. I never thought any less of him for that. I didn't even hear the term Bigfoot until years later in high school when I found a book on unexplained mysteries and cryptids. I have since learned the stories of the Woodwose go back to the 15th century, and it is referred to as the Hairy Man, the Wild Man of the Woods, the Fawn, and sometimes the Green Man. I don't know if it is a Bigfoot-type being or if it's related to these adjectives, but I know for a fact that there are things on this planet and in the woods and dark places that are beyond most people's understanding. I believe that my granddad also had some kind of encounter with one of those beings, although he never admitted it until the day he died. Anyway, that's my experience. I am 41 years old and still researching and looking for answers. I still believe that if it wasn't for my granddad's dog, that thing would have taken me. I still live in the Cheshire County countryside in northwest England, and the woods around where I live now are the playground of my kids and their friends. I don't want them to be scared of the woods, but I do encourage them to be sensible.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When I was in high school temp, Arizona, a group of us were wandering a golf course at night. We were sophomores, completely sober. One of the girls with us started crying, saying she saw something jump out of a palm tree. We teased her, carried on. Until moments later, I looked up and hand to God, on my mother's life. I see this wolf-like creature on all fours lurking towards us. It was darker than the surrounding night, and all I could make out was the German Shepherd-looking head-snout outline, long pointed ears, no eye shine. Its arms were cocked forward and longer than the rest of its body. It had to have been at least 5 feet tall, slumped over. I can't imagine how tall it was if it had stood up. I yelled and we all ran, but it didn't chase us. Has anyone else experienced this in a heavy populated city? For years, I couldn't wrap my head around what we saw. Only 3 out of the 6 people witnessed this DM. Finally came across Dogman Encounters Radio with Vic and have been obsessed ever since. I apologize for the lack of punctuation. I'm just trying to get it out and using voice text. I have had several encounters before, a lot of which I've posted on the subreddit. But 2 days ago, I had another encounter. It's the first encounter I've had in over 3 months. I think of an encounter as when I come face to face with one of these things outside and not just seeing it in my car. Last weekend, I decided I would do a hiking trip where I was just going to hike a local trail, set up camp, and spend the night out there. The hike was beautiful. I completed my hike uneventfully. I set up camp at about 6 p.m. and got a fire started so I could cook dinner. Dinner went uneventful, and so did most of the rest of the evening. After dinner, I went back to my tent, and I just relaxed, read a book, and enjoyed nature. At some point, I must have fallen asleep, because the next thing I know, I hear something outside. I instinctively know what it is, because I have been taking a lot of time to actually research these creatures and figure out how to best live among them. If you ever encounter one, I stayed silent and didn't move from my tent until I thought the thing was gone. It wasn't gone. I climbed out of my tent to investigate and to pack up and go, because I knew I wasn't sleeping that night. I didn't hear anything. The woods were still dead silent, so I knew it still was probably around, but I knew one thing. I needed to get out of there, because even though I know a lot about these creatures, I still know that they are dangerous. Even though I knew it was dangerous to hike in the dark, I had a pretty powerful headlamp and plenty of batteries, because I like to prepare for anything, and I knew it wasn't a very long hike back to the car. About 2 hours at most. As I began my hike back to the car, I began to hear it following me, crashing through the brush, just out of sight. So I picked up the pace and unhooked my gun from my bag in case I needed to fight. It continued to follow me for about 10 minutes before it finally showed itself. This one was pretty average size for a dogman, about 8.5 feet tall. I don't know if it was black or dark gray, hard to tell at night. This one had orange eyes. We looked at each other for a few seconds, and then it went off back into the woods. The entire time I was hiking back to my car, I kept hearing it follow me on and off. I'd hear it crash through the brush. I never did see it again, and I made it back to my car safely. This was one of my most unique encounters I've ever had, because it seemed like this one was not as aggressive as the others I've seen. It was just kind of making its presence. Not, I believe, I don't know if it had any ill intent at all. I know as it still scared the shit out of me. That's my most recent encounter. It was a pleasant night in North England around 12:30 a.m. in August, 2011, and I was walking to my then-girlfriend's. Being around 17, I was by now well accustomed to the streets that only a few years ago seemed quite alien. Like any other night in those days, I was out with friends. We would get high and find something fun to do. I was a little bit stoned writing this. I still am all these years later. But I had been smoking for at least 2 years by that point, and you just don't hallucinate on weed. You can get paranoid, sure, but you do not visually see things like this. All these years later, I still don't see this as a hallucination. Rather, the weed may have allowed this to happen somehow. But I don't want to get into that side too much and just focus on the actual event as I'm writing. When it was time to go home, we would split off into groups and head in our own directions. I was now walking to my girlfriend's alone after leaving my friend at the end of his road. To picture, imagine an empty but quiet main road heading out of a town into the villages. There are fields, trees, and also horses. But this wasn't a horse or the shape of any animal I knew. I'm walking on the left-hand side of the road. It's dark, and the only light is from the lampposts that are dotted every 10 or so paces near the hedgerow on the right side. That realization hit me instantly when I saw this creature. The shape of it in the glow of the light, this long, huge, black, muscly, tall and lanky, but at the same time ripped thing. It was massive, 7 or 8 feet. Its tail was over a meter. It looked like nothing I had ever seen before or since. Arched over almost. The form of this thing. It looked like it could stand up bipedally if it wanted to. All of this I kind of processed in the blink of an eye. Actually, I did because I stood there staring at this beast. My eyes just locked in a way that was instinctual to see if it was aware of me or something. As I'm staring, my hand is reaching simultaneously into my pocket and grabbing my phone. I don't even look at my phone as it's in my hand. I just dial the first number on my call list. You know how when you press the green phone and see the list? I press the last number I called. This is all in the first few seconds when I realize what I think I'm seeing. This is all where the story weirdly gets a bit blurry. I called my friend and explained to him that I was seeing a goddamned werewolf. I remember doing that, but I don't remember hanging up really or, more importantly, walking past it or seeing it go off. My friend remembers me calling, but he doesn't remember what we said at the end of the call. This was almost over 10 years ago now. It quickly became a joke. But I think he and the people who I have talked to about it somewhat believe me now. There is a history of similar sightings in the UK, both old and new, and it wasn't until a few years later that I became aware of paranormal researchers in my area. They are releasing a documentary this year about the werewolf, dogman phenomenon. I am not affiliated with them or anyone. But it sure does drive my story home when I find this out years later. Since then, I have been following the subjects and subjects alike. Please have questions because my memory is bad after some time and I have told the story so many times to myself that it has become strained. But I wanted to get this down. Thanks for reading. I work as a trucker, and during one of the flights I witnessed an interesting case. My path ran through fields, forests, villages, and villages. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, I began to think that it was probably time to stop somewhere for the night and just sleep. I had enough time for delivery to move calmly and not be afraid of being late. Driving past one of the villages and entering the forest belt, which was located next to the village, I suddenly punched a wheel. I got out of the car and looked at the breakdown. The wheel was literally torn to shreds. There was nowhere to go. It had to be changed. There would be no problem if it was one of the rear wheels. But I punched the front ones, and all the replacement work had to be done on the road. It was drizzling fine rain, but in principle it was warm outside. I took out a spare tire, a key, and a jack. Suddenly there was a roar in the forest, and the birds from the upper branches of the trees scattered to the sides. I was stunned because I was standing on the street and holding only a wrench in my hands. It was the only thing I could protect myself with. Then I heard a growl and the crunch of breaking branches. I was scared and immediately jumped into the car and moved to the passenger seat. I lowered the window a little and watched what would happen next. For a very long time, I saw absolutely nothing and only listened to something huge moving in the night thicket of the forest. Then someone roared again in the forest, and it wasn't a scream or a growl, but a roar. After that, the crunching stopped, and I sat motionless in the car for about 10 minutes. Thinking it was over, I slowly opened the door, and then branches crunched next to my truck. Along the way, the one that roared in the forest and made noise with breaking branches also stood and watched me and my truck for 10 minutes. I slammed the door again and decided for myself that I would sit until dawn. Suddenly, in the headlights, a creature with a dog's head appeared on the road, but moving on two legs. He ran across the road into the forest, to the other side, and disappeared into the darkness. I closed all the windows and decided to call the rescue service. To be honest, I didn't know who to call, so I dialed the number one that came to mind. I was out of range of the network. I sat up all night without closing my eyes. In the afternoon, when there were more cars on the highway, I got out and changed the wheel. After downloading the tool, I hit the road and got to my destination without any problems. We used to go night hiking when there was a full moon. In the summer, it's painfully hot during the day, so we would night hike instead. My boyfriend and I had just finished a big loop and were about a mile before the trailhead. He pointed into the trees on the hillside and said, "Check out that owl." You could see two big yellow eyes up between the trees and the slope. Then its head moved. Definitely was not an owl. Definitely was a dogman that had been watching us. Let me start off with a few disclaimers. This isn't my story. It's a friend of my grandfather, and it's been a few years since I was told it, so the memory might be a bit hazy. It may not be scary to most people, but I thought I would share it anyway. Also, if there are any mistakes in the story, I apologize. At the time of writing this, I was getting over a concussion. This story happened in upstate New York. My grandfather's friend was hunting with one other person. For privacy reasons, I won't use any names of the people in this story. Anyway, they came across a road and decided to split up, going in opposite directions on the road. He perched himself on a rock and waited until about 4 in the afternoon, but nothing showed. At this time, he decided to meet up with his friend. Right when he got off the rock he was sitting on, he saw something walking in the woods across a clearing not far from him. The thing walked out of the trees, and it had its right side facing him. He didn't know if it was a bear or a person, and he didn't know whether to talk to it or not. He then decided to whistle at it. The thing walked away from him on two legs back into the forest, disappearing from his sight. It then walked back out of the forest, this time facing him. They stared at each other before the thing walked back into the woods again and out of sight. My grandfather's friend walked back down the road away from the thing he saw, where he saw his friend walking up to him. He asked him if he had been down where he saw the creature. His friend said he never went down that way. To this day, he insists that it wasn't a bear because it would have stumbled on two legs, and he swears it wasn't a person because they would have alerted him of their presence. He insists that it was a Bigfoot. This is coming from a second-hand source, so you can judge on whether or not it's true, but I hope to find what he saw. I'm here to recount my father's chilling encounter with Bigfoot, which took place in the summer of 1973 on the outskirts of Davie, Florida. At that time, this region was characterized by vast expanses of undeveloped land, primarily orange groves and citrus fruit plantations. The local news was buzzing with reports of a creature known as the skunk ape, a name commonly associated with Bigfoot or Sasquatch in the Florida Everglades. These sightings have persisted to this day. My father, in his early 20s at the time, often shared this story with me while I was growing up. and I thought it was worth sharing with you in the context of Bigfoot encounters. On this particular evening, around 8 p.m., my father was visiting his cousin Gary, who lived in a groundskeeper's house nestled amidst the orange groves of the Everglades. The house was surrounded on three sides by these groves, extending for miles toward the wilderness of the Everglades. The property also had a long front yard with a driveway leading to the road. My father was in the company of three close friends, and they were all gathered together, deep in conversation, when something utterly unexpected occurred. Suddenly, an overpowering, foul odor assaulted their nostrils. The stench was unlike anything they had ever encountered. My father, having previously encountered skunks, recognized that the pungency of this smell was similar, yet distinctly different. It carried a wild, animalistic note, which immediately sent their minds racing to the reports of the skunk ape that had recently been featured in the news. The smell was so disconcerting that it raised alarm among the group. They were, after all, in a remote location, surrounded by the vast and dark wilderness of the Everglades. It was unsettling to think that they might be sharing this isolated space with an unknown and potentially dangerous creature. The group's curiosity and concern grew, and they decided to investigate the source of the odor. The layout of the property played a significant role in their decision. The house stood amid orange groves, and their endeavor led them to the backyard, where the smell seemed to be coming from. However, as they ventured further from the house, the inky darkness of the night made it impossible to discern anything beyond the reach of the yard's lights. Arming themselves with various firearms, including rifles and pistols, they embarked on a mission to confront whatever was responsible for the eerie odor. My cousin Gary even had a high-caliber elephant gun and a .30-caliber machine gun at his disposal. They were determined to confront the intruder. With hearts pounding and adrenaline surging, they scanned the perimeter, attempting to make sense of their surroundings in the limited light. Their shouts and taunts echoed in the night, challenging whatever lurked in the shadows to reveal itself. Despite their fervor, they received no response. Then, an ominous noise shattered the silence. A massive branch snapped within 10 feet of the outermost reach of the lights. The group stood on edge, acutely aware of the proximity of whatever was responsible for the noise. The tension in the air was palpable as they readied themselves to confront the unseen intruder. Yet, whatever creature or entity had been lurking in the darkness had retreated into obscurity. The woods fell silent once more, and the grotesque odor began to dissipate, leaving the group outside for a few more moments, filled with a mix of unease and adrenaline. Eventually, they returned inside, resuming their night, though the experience had shaken them profoundly. The following morning, their curiosity led them to investigate the site. They hoped to find evidence of the mysterious intruder or some clue as to what had occurred during the night. What they discovered only deepened the mystery. A massive, 10-inch diameter branch had been torn from a tree, matching the spot where they had heard the branch snap the previous night. Their exploration didn't end there. My brother Dominic ventured deeper into the Everglades, hoping to uncover any signs of the creature's presence. After some time, he stumbled upon a massive cave den that stretched approximately 10 feet across. Inside, he found the remains of various animals and an unsettling, pungent odor. The den was meticulously constructed, leaving my brother in a state of profound unease. To provide some context, my brother was no stranger to wildlife and had encountered predators like mountain lions before, yet this experience frightened him in a unique and unsettling way. The story takes an even more disturbing turn when my brother revealed that, not long after finding the den, a horse had been discovered nearby with its head violently torn from its body. The sheer force required to inflict such damage left everyone in shock. There are no bears in that area, and the Everglades' native predators could not have been responsible for such a gruesome act. The encounters my family experienced in the early 1970s remain etched in our memories, leaving us with questions that still linger. What could be strong enough to rip a horse's head from its body? What intelligent, elusive force lurked in the Florida wilderness, hidden in the shadows and emitting that ghastly odor? While Florida has since seen substantial development, particularly in the areas where these events occurred, the memories of those eerie nights continue to raise questions about the unknown entities that may still inhabit the wild places of our world, waiting to be discovered or to remain forever enigmatic. Forgive me, I'm an old fart, but I think you would appreciate my story. Back when I served in Vietnam in the Navy, I was just 19, a young buck. Our vessel was attacked by something. It came out of the water and tore the heck out of the ship. We never saw it coming. It was so fast. It took us several days to repair all the damage caused by this thing. The sound was deafening, like nothing I'd ever heard before. We couldn't figure out at first what was making that kind of noise underwater when it was not a whale. In the following days, we kept a lookout for what happened. To start the story off, I was currently stationed off the coast of Vietnam aboard the USS Storms DD-780, which was an Allenham, summer-class destroyer during her 1967 deployment to Vietnam in support of Operation Sea Dragon. Our radar picked up on something on the surface. It looked like a small island just off the coast of northern Vietnam. We made our way over there and found a conical-shaped object sticking up out of the water, about 30 feet. We approached it cautiously at first, but slowed our approach after seeing no reaction from the small island, or whatever it was. It wasn't really a small island, I just call it that. The closer we got to this thing, the more unusual it became. To start with, there were obviously no trees on this island, which was only about 30 feet in diameter. It was all one big, smooth, cone-shaped mound. Then we noticed that the island seemed to be made out of this texture, not like rock. But what really caught our attention was when we got within several hundred yards and saw how much it began to move. The closer we got, the more it moved. We're about to continue on our way when one of my lookouts said he could hear something below the water. We all stood there quietly, thinking nothing of it until my signalman called for me and said that whatever was making that noise seemed to be coming from the island. The closer we got to it, the louder it seemed, and then my other lookouts said they could hear something as well, also over the sound of our own engines, which were very, very loud. So, I took us in closer. We could maybe see what was making all that noise. It suddenly dawned on me that this island was not at all stationary. Then, you have to remember, at the distance we were at, it totally looked like an island. This thing had started to move. This was a living sea organism. As we were watching it slowly undulate, even as it spread open to the top like some kind of giant clam, we wanted to get away, but our engines seemed to be straining against something unseen. The more we tried to move away, the harder our engines seemed to work. We were stuck. We were looking around for what was anchoring us. We looked down and saw that the closer it got, the more visible it became. It was like watching an image appear in a developing tank of photographic paper. What looked like islands at first became long lines that were attached all the way around this thing. Then I could see what looked like flippers, similar to an elephant's ears, or so they reminded me. I even saw a face that looked somewhat like a giant lizard, with great big eyes. I called my gunner over, told him to open fire on this thing if it tried coming up out of the water at us. I tried turning our searchlight on the thing, but the light just seemed to disappear into it. Whatever this thing was, it did not want to be seen. We were dealing with a colossal bioform. I remember our ship beginning to shake as if we hit something underwater. We all thought it was coming after us until we heard a huge sucking sound and felt like we were beginning to slide sideways. The creature had let loose of our keel and seemed to be sliding back deeper into the ocean. Once the thing was completely submerged again, our engines came back online and started pulling away from this thing faster than I ever thought possible. I could see something moving around on top of it as we sped away. Whatever it was now diving headfirst straight down. The more I looked, the bigger it seemed to get. Then it hit me. It was an eye, a huge round eye that looked like a big red bulb. Then it turned blue, the same way a bioluminescent fish changes colors. I remember turning to my lookouts, yelling for them to sound our horn, loud enough to hopefully scare whatever this thing was away. I remember the sound of our ship's horn bellowing into the blackness at top volume. And I remember seeing this huge red eye appear on that thing, staring right at us before it finally sunk back down below the depths of the dark ocean. There was this kind of flash of light, almost equivalent to a fireball going off underwater, like the creature had used some kind of secret weapon on us. It very much reminded me of the same way fish that have that bioluminescent gene in them will flash their colors kind of as a distraction, or the way the deep water squid will do the same thing. That's kind of what it was like, but just on a massive, colossal scale. I could see a trail of bubbles going up to the surface, which exploded upon hitting the water, beginning to boil around us. This giant red eye came back into view, seemingly glaring at us from deep below. We were lucky we weren't all killed. I had my men sound the horn again, and we sped away from this thing as fast as we could. I know that some people will think what happened to us was just some kind of maybe, I don't know, a whale. But I'm here to tell you, this was not a whale. Questions I still ask myself every day of what this could have been. The only thing I can conclude is that this was Leviathan himself.